This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, I sit down with Thomas Whitener. He's one of three Democrats running for State House in the 61st District, which includes the city of Portage. But first, residents in the city of Parchment and part of Cooper Township are still picking up bottled water because of PFAS's contamination. The advisory to not drink household water was issued last week due to contamination that is 20 times the Environmental Protection Agency's recommended level of PFAS's. That has led to calls for state lawmakers currently on their summer break to return to Lansing. Lisa Wozniak is executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
How concerned should the people in Parchment and Cooper Township be, just to start in those communities very close to us here in Kalamazoo?
This family of chemicals, PFAS and PFOA, are a group of really dangerous chemicals that have been used in a variety of industries since the 40s, and we know that they are commonly referred to as forever chemicals because they don't break down, and once they find their way into the human body, they remain there indefinitely. They have been linked to a variety of different health challenges, cancers, thyroid disorders, autoimmune challenges, cholesterol issues. I think the citizens should be concerned, and I think they are now joining a larger body of citizens across the state that have already been concerned, angered, and mobilized because this issue has been impacting Oscoda, Grayling, Alpena, Marquette, Plainfield Township, and even the city of Ann Arbor.
So since these chemicals don't break down, these forever chemicals, how concerned should people be in parts of the state where maybe testing hasn't been done yet?
Again, I think that people should be concerned. They should be asking that the testing be done quickly and that they should be given those results in a quick manner. This challenge that we're seeing here in the state is growing rapidly. We found out this week that there may be as many as 11,000 plus sites that need to be tested for these chemicals. And given the impacts that people are feeling in their communities, where, again, the legacy contamination has been pretty extensively looked at, the Wolverine worldwide issue in West Michigan and Plainfield and Rockford Township, we're finding that people have been exposed to these chemicals for decades. And in fact, we also know that there's been a report that was authored in 2012 within the DEQ that was not allowed to see the light of day for almost 6 years for a variety of reasons that we don't know exactly why, but people have been exposed to these chemicals even while the DEQ knew that there were existing threats to the environment and public health.
You are one of the people who has said that state lawmakers should come back to Lansing, forego the rest of their summer break, or forego at least some of the rest of their summer break to come back and hold hearings. Is one of the things you would want them to do to try and get at what happened when the concerns were first raised in 2012?
Absolutely. I mean, why was a report authored by a sitting member of the DEQ, an employee at the DEQ, allowed to be covered up, literally covered up for almost 6 years? There is an accountability issue here that we need to deal with, as well as the immediate challenge of ensuring that people have clean, safe water to drink. So while we get bottled water to the people in Parchment, we also need to be holding hearings. We need to be holding accountable the people in charge at the DEQ and asking why this was not allowed to see the light of day.
Does that delay in response here, that 2012 report, which first raised these concerns and then not hearing about it for 5 or 6 years after that, does that sound a little bit like what happened in Flint, where there were warnings about lead contamination that seemed to fall on deaf ears?
Well, it seems to be, unfortunately, a pattern here. And one of the things that we've been calling for is a culture change at the DEQ. This is an agency that is responsible for environmental protection and the protection of public health in the state. And we need to make sure that this agency has those things at its core, that they are central to its mission, and that mission is executed. This is, unfortunately, another clear example of failure by DEQ leadership to put the health of Michiganders at the forefront. And it's really time for a change. Way too much is at stake. And at this point, both the city of Flint and now communities across the state are being impacted in long-term ways, and this cannot go on. The culture of the DEQ must change.
In response to the call for lawmakers to hold hearings this summer, Representative Joe Graves, who's the chair of the House Oversight Committee, was quoted in the Gongwer News Service as saying that he would like to wait and see what the DEQ concludes in a report that he expects on the issue. The quote, I'm tough on departments, but I want to give them a chance to do their job. Would hearings produce much now, or does Representative Graves have a point that maybe we should wait for the DEQ to come back with more findings and perhaps issue a report?
Well, we have a report from 2012 that says these chemicals are a threat to our communities and our public health. I think at this point we are putting people's lives and their health at risk by waiting through this process. The state and the DEQ continue, unfortunately, to mislead the public about the science that exists. There are well-documented studies supporting drinking water standards far below the EPA's current 70 parts per trillion health advisory standard, which is not a drinking water standard, mind you. And other states have moved ahead to actually create standards at the state level. New Jersey has a PFOA standard of 14 parts per trillion and a PFOS standard at 13 parts per trillion. We need to act. And more studies at this point within the DEQ, an agency that has been proven to not be trusted, is not something that I feel comfortable with at all.
You mentioned other states. Scott Dean, a DEQ spokesman, said that Michigan has moved faster than any state in addressing contamination by PFOSes. But you're saying that other states are actually ahead of Michigan on this?
Absolutely. New Jersey, Vermont. And, you know, one of the baffling things to me is that there are, again, studies that are out there that actually indicate that in every state, and frankly at the federal level, should be looking at limits of these forever chemicals at much lower limits, especially for drinking water standards. There's a Harvard study that has helped propel some of these actions in places like New Jersey and Vermont. The Harvard study suggests that we should actually be at one part per trillion for PFOA. So the science exists. I'm afraid that the DEQ and the state are misleading the public here. They're trying to avoid a widespread reaction on the part of the citizens who should rightfully be very worried about the water coming out of their taps.
Explain a little bit more about forever chemicals. You say these chemicals don't break down. So is it possible that people could be having their health impacted by something which might have been there since, you know, the 40s, since, you know, before they were born, maybe back when their grandparents were alive?
Absolutely. I mean, these build up in our bodies. They don't break down once they find their way in. It takes long periods of time for them to, you know, kind of diminish in number. These are chemicals that were very popular at one point. They were used in nonstick cookware. You can, all of us, I think, can remember how fashionable it was to have nonstick cookware. Stain-resistant furniture, carpeting. I remember when my children were born, I mean, the going to buy clothing for your children and, you know, having the fire retardant labels on things to make sure your children were safe. Pizza boxes, food containers, firefighting foam, which has been a big, big problem. So everywhere that, you know, there's been any kind of firefighting exercises in the state or around the country, frankly, these chemicals will be found. So people have definitely, in a variety of communities and almost everywhere, have been exposed to some extent. The challenge now is to ensure that we actually put safeguards on our municipal water systems and test our drinking wells, water wells, to ensure that those chemicals are identified and that we actually put filtration systems in place so we don't continue to take those chemicals into our bodies.
Are you expecting that we are going to see more communities like Parchment in the near future where people are going to have to pick up bottled water because of this contamination?
I am afraid I am. I think that we're going to find, again, anywhere that there's been any kind of firefighting exercise and or there's been a massive fire where firefighting foam has been used extensively, the testing in those areas is undoubtedly going to reveal, as it has in places like Skoda, that we have this chemical in our groundwater and in some cases our surface water. And I think that we're also going to find that various industries have used these chemicals over time. Again, the stories that were just coming out this week indicate that there could be over 11,000 different sites in Michigan that need to be tested for PFOA and PFAS chemicals.
Are we likely to see problems with PFASs and perhaps other chemicals in the future in drinking water, unless there's some sort of change in how we introduce chemicals into our air and water? In other words, should we be looking more at something which is called the precautionary principle? You err on the side of caution before introducing something new that people may be drinking or breathing.
Well, I'm a big supporter of the precautionary principle. Unfortunately, it's not been something that has been adopted at the federal level here in the United States. As a result, literally thousands of new chemicals have been introduced into the marketplace over the last many decades. Very few have actually been pulled from the market. And as a result, we absolutely have done the opposite of using the precautionary principle. And we will undoubtedly be dealing with not only this PFAS family of chemicals, but a variety of others that we will find linked to human health and environmental impact.
And as we find this contamination, assuming that we're going to, at some point, that it's going to be cleaned up in some way so that it doesn't further cause problems, who's going to end up paying for that?
It's a great question. I mean, as someone who's been working in this space, which is public health and Great Lakes and drinking water for many, many years, I am looking into the eyes, we as citizens of Michigan are looking into the eyes of a variety of different challenges to our waters. Definitely the PFAS challenge is going to be one that's going to necessitate a huge expenditure of dollars to address in terms of cleanup. We also know that we have an issue with infrastructure in our state and some challenges there. Replacement of lead service lines is going to be another thing that we really need to invest in. And as we look at, you know, some of the other contaminants facing our waters, the toxic algal blooms that are facing our waters, we have a series of water challenges that as we move into 2019 and 2020, the state leaders are going to have to grapple with in a way that has been unprecedented.
And is it worth revisiting the idea that those responsible for the contamination pay to clean it up?
Yes. Michigan once had a very important piece of legislation that was passed and put into place, which was basically called polluters pay. Those who pollute must pay to clean up their mess. And I thought it and still think it a very wise bill and a legislation. I mean, it's what we teach our children when we raise them. If they've made a mess, they must clean it up. And at this point in time, with the amount of contamination, legacy industrial contamination in many cases, I think it's absolutely time. It's overdue. In fact, it should never have been overturned in our state. And we should hold accountable those who make a mess in our state and hold them accountable for paying for cleaning it up.
I want to go back to what you said earlier about changing the culture of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. If it were just up to Lisa Wozniak, how would the DEQ operate, and what would that mean in terms of changing from the way that it operates now?
Well, at its core, this agency is about protecting our environment, or it should be, and citizens' health. And I think we've lost sight of that over the last many years. We've been very quick to want to issue permits. We've been very quick to overlook some of the challenges that have been facing our communities and our waters. We have now very clearly seen an agency hide a report for almost 6 years that has had huge impacts on the health of people such as those living in Oscoda, who, had they known almost 6 years ago the extent of the contamination in their area and the extent to which that contamination could be impacting their public health and their lives, they could have fundamentally changed how they were behaving and how they were dealing, interacting with their water. The DEQ must go back to its core mission. It must be linked in partnership with all of the agencies at the local level dealing with community health issues.
Lisa Wozniak is the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.